All right, so if I were to say the letters, the WWF, would you guys know what I was talking about? I think that depending on your generation, you're going to have a different answer to that question. So some of you might say the World Wildlife Foundation, but then others of you are probably going to be like me and say the World Wrestling Federation. And for some reason right now, Facebook thinks I'm really into WWE and wrestling. I don't know why, but all my targeted ads, Bailey can attest to this, all my targeted ads are just different wrestlers or compilations of wrestlers. And so I find myself starting to get into wrestling because I'm sitting down and watching this. It's working. And apparently my favorite wrestler is Rhea Ripley, who's like this Australian chick that's just super buff and like body slams 6'9" dudes and stuff like that. I don't know, but Facebook is like really pushing this hard. So I thought I would humor those Facebook ads and talk about one of my favorite wrestling stories today. And since Aaron's not here, we're going to be in Genesis. So we're going to the Old Testament. We're going to the first book of the Bible. We'll be in Genesis 32, verses 23 through 32. So I'll give you guys a second to pull that up if you have your Bible apps or...
23 through 32.
Yeah, 32, 23 through 32. A lot of 32s in that saying. A lot of 2s and 3s. It's all 2s and 3s.
What was it?
Genesis 32, verses 23 through 32.
These numbers are very
similar. Yeah. So I'll go ahead and read it. And it's I'm reading from the NIV version, if that makes a difference to you guys. So your versions might be a little bit different. But it says, that night Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed the ford of Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched, and as he wrestled with the man, then the man said, let me go, for it is daybreak. But Jacob replied, I will not let you go unless you bless me. The man asked him, what is your name? Jacob, he said. Then the man said, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome. Jacob said, please tell me your name. But he replied, why do you ask my name? Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called this place Peniel, saying, it is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared. The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the tendon attached to the socket of the hip, because the socket of Jacob's hip was touched near the tendon. So just a little backstory about who Jacob was. Jacob is the younger twin son of Isaac and Rebekah. So he's returning home after being away for about 14 years or so. With him are his wives, Leah and Rachel. And Jacob is about to cross over into the promised land and encounter his older brother Esau. However, he is fearful for what this encounter might entail. He had tricked Esau out of his birthright and then helped his mother, or with the help of his mother, he had tricked his father Isaac into blessing him instead of Esau. So having done so, he then fled to his mother's brother, Laban, whose daughters he married. He also deceived Laban, so the whole of Jacob's life till this point had been one big deception and one of deceiving people. The name Jacob literally means supplanter, which is often interpreted as someone who seizes, circumvents, or usurps. And if you look at verses 9 through 12 of chapter 32, which we didn't read, you'll see that Jacob's prayer concerning this moment in his life, he turns to God and he prays for deliverance from Esau and claims God's promise to bless and prosper him and his lineage. So let's take a look at verse 24 a little more closely. Jacob's alone. Jacob has sent his two wives and the rest of his camp across the Jabbok. And in verse 24 says, so Jacob was left alone. We could pass that phrase up as an incidental piece of information, but I think it's really significant. Jacob is alone, and all the things he had previously depended on, valued, and treasured have gone, and there is only him in the Valley of Peniel. Just a little side note, the word Peniel actually like literally translates to the face of God. So what we see here is that Jacob has decided to go directly to the face of God alone and by himself. And he is alone the night before the night and alone to encounter God. And I think that solitude with God is important. It's good, it's important and vital that we have fellowship with others, but there comes a time and a moment, a God-ordained moment in time, when it's necessary for us to be alone with God. This helps show the importance of corporate worship, so worship with others like at church, or private worship, so our intimate time with the Lord on our own time. And all his life he had maneuvered and manipulated situations and people to get to where he wanted to be, but now he is completely alone. He's alone in the darkness of the wilderness of the night, which only reflects the darkness of the situation before him and the darkness that has been his life. Jacob thought he was alone, but the next sentence tells us more. And a man wrestled with him till daybreak. Again, it's a simple statement, which is full of significance. A man wrestled with him till daybreak. Here is a battle of the soul. This is as much a physical battle as it was a spiritual and metaphoric battle. A battle to and fro for authority, for the superiority and the control of Jacob's life. It's significant when the new day dawns, when the light shatters the darkness, that Jacob is defeated. So the symbolism of the darkness of Jacob's soul being shattered by the light of the angel of the Lord is reflected in the darkness of the night being overcome by the dawn of a new day. This is further echoed in the New Testament in John 3, when it says that Nicodemus came to Jesus, the light of the world, under the cover of darkness. So refusing to submit until it was unavoidable due to the dislocation of his hip. Now, I don't know how many of you have dislocated a bone before, but I have several times and can tell you a few things about it. One, it's painful. It is so, so painful. A doctor will tell you that it takes immense force to dislocate a hip, and there can be long-term consequences of that result. I myself have some lasting issues from some of the dislocations I've had, so I understand that firsthand. My shoulders act up in cold weather. They get really tight and stuff like that. Sometimes when I'm working out or doing things, I feel my shoulders start to kind of give and feel like it's going to pop out again. I'm currently trying to work on that and get all those things taken care of, with the muscles and stuff. But it is a long process to recovery from a dislocation. So what we see is that the angel of the Lord touches Jacob's hip, and he is rendered defenseless. And yet, even in defeat, he will not let go of the one whom he has struggled with. So, if he must submit and admit defeat, he wishes for a blessing from the champion. So, we see in verse 26 that Jacob refuses to let go of the one whom he has done battle with through the night. And he will only release his grip when he has been blessed. The greater always blesses the lesser. And Jacob bows in submission to the greater, to the one who has touched his hip, rendered him helpless, and seeks his blessing. Then what follows will change Jacob's life forever. So I think one of the coolest things about this is the tenacity of Jacob. Here's someone who had been so tenacious his whole life and who has strived for blessings he did not deserve. When Jacob wanted his wife, Rachel, he had to work 7 years to get her, only to have a trick played on him and be wed to her older sister, Leah. So Jacob had to work another 7 years to marry Rachel. So that's 14 years of hard work just to get the blessing that you wanted. The man, or the angel of the Lord, asks Jacob his name and then proceeds to give him a new name. His name is changed from deceiver to God strives for him, Israel. He's given a new name along with a new walk because it says that he limped for the rest of his life. So this walk is a physical reminder of the new spiritual walk he was given with the Lord. The night that he was crippled, arguably one of the hardest nights of his life, became the night of his greatest blessing. The night he was crippled was the night he entered upon a new relationship with God, which flowed into a new relationship with his brother Esau. So every step Jacob took from this moment forward reminded him of the night that he wrestled with the angel of the Lord at Peniel and how God blessed him through the pain of a dislocated hip. So Jacob now seeks some answers. So he asks, who have I been wrestling with? But the one whom he has been wrestling with does not reveal his name, instead blesses him. And you can find that in verse 29. And it is in this blessing that Jacob comes to realize who it was that he had struggled with all night in verse 30. So Jacob realizes that he has encountered and struggled with God and has been touched by God. Painful though it was and is, he has been touched and blessed by God. He realizes too the immense mercy of God, and in that he is still alive. He has been blessed with a face-to-face encounter with the living God and is still alive. So Jacob is humbled by this, and he can only be thankful that his life has been spared. Then in verse 31, the sun rises and the new day dawns, the first day of a new way of life for Jacob. A new name, a new relationship with God, with Esau, and a new walk to constantly remind him of the night that he struggled with God until daybreak, and he was blessed by God. The truth is that for all of his life until this moment, Jacob had struggled against God. He had been struggling against God's will and his plan for his life. He had been struggling against God's timing of events. He had been struggling with God all of his life to let go of the reins and allow God to be in control. He had sought to manipulate and maneuver people and situations to speed things up. Jacob wanted everything in his timing rather than the timing of the Lord. Jacob thought that he was in control, and he probably thought that even in this night he was in control, after all he had sent his family and camp away so that he would be alone. He had held on to the angel of the Lord and refused to let go, but the truth was that God had taken the initiative all along. If you go back and look at verse 9, it shows that God was the one who had told Jacob to head home. It was God who had brought him to the Valley of Peniel to have his face-to-face encounter with the living God. God who had awakened the hunger in his heart for Jacob to go home to the promised land, to where God's people were supposed to be. Just as in the parable of the prodigal son, the hunger for home in his father's house was stirred. When he was in the pigsty, so it is with Jacob. This crisis awakened that hunger, but it did not determine the outcome. God determined the outcome. So Jacob's new name attests to his new standing before God and before the people of God. And this mark of grace wiped away the old reproach of Genesis 27:36 says, of being rightly named Jacob, he deceives. He is now called Israel. God strives for him. He struggles with God and men and overcomes. His new name also becomes an accolade to live up to. So we see that he gets a new walk. He has a new walk both physically and spiritually. He is no longer walking in deception and sin, but in forgiveness and grace. He gets a new relationship. So a new relationship with God, which would result into a new relationship with Esau. Jacob's restored relationship with God led him to no longer fear meeting Esau. And if God had forgiven him for this deception and past life, then so could Esau. It leads him to a new blessing. So Jacob had deceived his father Isaac into blessing him. And there's no deception in this blessing. The blessing is not tarnished by deception. The blessing did not rely on an old man being blind or being confused by goat skin or the taste of food. But the blessing relied solely on the grace and mercy of God. The old blessing was stolen. This one was freely given. What a difference we see in that. So what do we learn from Jacob's struggle with God? Well, I believe that there comes a point in all of our lives where we have such a painful encounter with the living God. I believe that some of us are currently in a season where we are at Peniel, a face-to-face encounter with God. And that sometimes our greatest crisis can actually birth some of the greatest blessings in our lives. The experience is painful. Let's not lie about that. But like Jacob, when morning comes, when a new day dawns, a new light dawns in your soul. A new relationship with God begins, which flows down into the new relationship with your family and others. You may well be like Jacob and limp the rest of your life because of the struggle with God. But that limp will forever remind you of the night, the dark night, when you struggled with God and refused to let him go until he blessed you, and blessed you he did. And there in that lies the secret to when our crisis comes and life gets hard and we think we're in control, but everything is crashing down around us. Jacob refused to let go of God. He refused to let go until God gave him what it was his. It is this teaching given by Christ in the parable of the persistent widow. We must persist. We must hold on and refuse to let go until we are blessed. And when we submit our lives and our control over to what we think needs to happen, and when we think it needs to happen, we open ourselves to the overflow of blessings from the Lord. Some of us might be in a season where we are wrestling with God, and that I encourage you to hold on no matter how hard and painful it may be. And some of us might have been through that season and are now left with a limp. And to that I say, remember your limp. Remember the struggle and what you have come out with, God. We are called to hold on to God, to struggle in prayer and wrestle with God in prayer. It took 20 years for Jacob to reach this point in his life. 20 years in which he walked many roads away from God, deceived many people, manipulated many situations, but in God's time he was touched by God and moved from death to life, from self-help to faith, and encountered the God who cripples in order to bless. So my prayer for us today is that we each have a face-to-face encounter with God, even if it is painful, even if we're left with a limp, because that blessing from the Lord is so worth it.